Well, hey, let's keep going with Slow Church. What are we at? Week 7 already, more than halfway through the book, which is absolutely crazy. Anyone who tunes in and watches the video, they're going to be so confused why I have a sleeping child on my lap. Hey, we're going to talk about Sabbath today. And Sabbath for me is something that, I guess you could say I discovered it. I mean, I've heard about it my whole life. I mean, who hasn't? You've all heard the word Sabbath. But the deeper understanding, or maybe I could say a more true or truer understanding of Sabbath, or it became more real to me, I guess I'll put it that way, 7 or 8 years ago. You know, Sabbath was, it was Sunday. For some people, it's a Saturday. And on Sabbath, you do certain things. There's things you can do and things you can't do on the Sabbath. And typically, if you're Christian, Sabbath means that, well, you go to church Sunday morning and then you have the rest of the day to do whatever else you might be doing the rest of the day, hopefully getting some rest in, because Sabbath does mean rest. But I started exploring this idea of Sabbath and I realized, well, there is so much more to Sabbath than what I was taught and what I had discovered up till that point in my life. Now, a great book about Sabbath, it's by Abraham Heschel. Name of the book is Sabbath. And, oh my goodness, like that book will change your understanding of Sabbath completely. No, sorry, I don't have it in the, yep, I know. I saw you looking like, wait, hold on, do I have a slide? I don't have that slide, but you're on top of it. Thank you. I know, right? That's why Laura does such a great job, because she knows, like, ooh, he's about to go to the next slide. Or she sees me struggling, it's like, oh, you better go to the next slide so that he can stay right on point. He's just a little long-winded here. Let's speed up this idea, go to the next. Now, Sabbath is something that it shows up right in the beginning of the Bible. And I think whenever we read the Bible, whenever we want to understand what the Bible is saying, I think it's really important to start at the beginning. Because so often we start at various points throughout the story, but I hate walking into a movie late. I ran a red light one time in White Plains trying to catch the beginning of A Star Is Born, and then I got that, it's the red light photo enforced thing, and it hit me up. I'm like, oh, $50, and I still missed the beginning of A Star Is Born. Not worth it. And then I remember they gave you that little video, too. I don't know if you've ever gotten caught by one of these cameras. And I'm like, I didn't do it, and then I watched the video, and you see yourself going through the light. You're like, all right, I guess I can't fight this one. They have me on videotape. But I still think they manipulated it in some way. So let's start right in the beginning. Genesis chapter 2. This is the first creation account, the very end of it. It said, thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. We could sit with these two or three verses probably for an hour. There's so much in here. So much in here. I know Joe talked about Sabbath. I don't even remember. Was that like a year ago? It was on a Father's Day. I don't remember if it was this year or last year. The years kind of blur together now. I don't think that's a good thing. But there's so much to talk about Sabbath. First, let me just make this point. When we talk about seven, in the ancient world, seven was the number of completion. So it seems like God did nothing on the seventh day but just rested. It's like, what's wrong with God? Like, if he's God, can't he just keep going? Can he keep creating? I mean, this is God we're talking about. Does God really need to sleep? You hear the phrase, like, sleep when you're dead. Well, if there is a God, well, God shouldn't have to sleep or rest, because he should have all this energy and all this potential. There's no reason he'd have to lay in bed for a day. But there's something about rest, that things aren't complete. Things aren't finished until there is a time of rest. Maybe it was a time for God to look back on all that had been created over those past 6 days and just revel in the beauty of it. You ever finish a project? Maybe you're working on a song. Maybe there's a commercial that you're filming. Maybe there's like a book or an article that you're writing, or a project around the home. You're doing some painting. You're doing a puzzle, right? I like doing puzzles around Christmas time. At the end of a project, you ever just sit back and just, you revel in the completed work. Wow, that was hard work. That was tough. It took a while. And then you just sit back and you rest in the beauty of it. It's like that's what we're seeing here right in the beginning of the Bible. God has created. He's put order to the chaos that existed. There's beauty. There's harmony. And then God just sits back, not in his king-size bed, just snoozing, but just looking at everything and satisfied. There's a sense, there's that, yeah, this is good. And what do we find all throughout Genesis 1? This is good, this is good. And at the end, man, this is very, very good. So the work that you do, and we talked about this last week, it's important, it has its place, but there's also this basic rhythm that's woven into the creation from the beginning. And this is a rhythm that even God himself follows. Work, rest. Work, and then rest. And I think, here it is. Like I said, thank you. So at the end of good work, you rest, you enjoy it. And I discovered this a couple of years ago. You ever go to the zoo? And I know we have mixed feelings about the zoo. I totally get it. But you ever go to the zoo and there's an animal that's not on display and you're like, oh man, I came here to see the bear. Why is the bear not on display today? And if you take these guys, they're like, oh, I really wanted to see the bear. And then you have a temper tantrum and then you're, come on, we'll go see the chameleon. I don't want to see the chameleon. I want to see the bear. Animals at the zoo have to rest because if they are on display for 7 days, they begin to go crazy. So they have a rhythm, being on display and then rest. All of creation has this rhythm woven into it somewhere. I mean, think about even the flowers. There's a time in which they bloom, then they rest. They even close their petals, some flowers, at night because they are resting from the beauty that they are emitting for us to see throughout the day. So right in the beginning of Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, we see 6 days of work, a day of rest. Rest is extremely important. It's a part of who you are. And without it, sometimes we begin to get off course a bit. You ever notice this? You're going, going, going. You don't take the time to rest and refill, and something just doesn't feel right within your soul. You feel like one of the animals at the zoo. You begin to go a bit stir crazy. You go a bit crazy thinking, oh man, is life really all about work? Think about the frenzied pace of life that so many of us live. Hey, how's it going? Busy. Got so much going on right now. Got so much going on. It just happens. That calendar fills up fast. If you don't protect your calendar, next thing you know, you look down and you're like, oh my goodness, I have this many appointments. Like, I look at my calendar for this week and it's all just different colors. Because we have a Google Calendar and everyone has a different color so that we know, okay, this is something for Steph, this is for Reese, this is, and the colors, I mean, it's the full rainbow, like pretty much every day this week. And you just look at it and your heart sinks a bit. Like, oh. See, when you just are constantly filling up your calendar and moving at this frenzied pace, there's no space to rest, to reflect, to enjoy all that you're doing, all the good that you're doing throughout the week. We looked last week at work. Work is a good thing. Sometimes make it into a bad thing, but work is actually a good thing. And at the end of good work, we must rest. I love this quote. It actually it showed up in Slow Church. And this is a quote by, Thomas Merton. I love Thomas Merton. I totally drew a blank. A Trappist monk. If you've ever read what's the name of the book? Thoughts on Solitude, Contemplation on Solitude. If you haven't read that, like put it on your list and order it right now. Thoughts of Solitude. I think that's the new Seeds of Contemplation. That's the one. Yeah, pick it up right now. I'll let you use your phones. It's okay. So here's a quote. There's a pervasive form of contemporary violence to which the idealist most easily succumbs. Activism and overwork. You ever find yourself there? Yep, and activism, that's a great thing. Well, I'm doing this for the cause. I'm doing it for the people. It's a really, really good thing. We were all born to give ourselves to something, but there's this violence, the rush, the pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form, of its innate violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands. You ever find yourself there? Everyone, you feel like Gumby? to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything, is to succumb to violence. Again, all really good things when properly balanced. When that 6-in-1, that work, rest, rhythm is in play, all these are good things. The frenzy of our activism neutralizes our work for peace because it destroys our own inner capacity for peace. You ever find this to be true? You're going, you're moving, you're doing really good things, you're helping people, but yet within there's this unsettled feeling. So it destroys the fruitfulness of our own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom, which makes work fruitful. I love that quote. When I read that again, I was like, ooh, there's so much in here. I can relate to so much of that. The frenzied pace, the pressure, all the different things that we give ourselves to in a given week, a month, or a year. So I asked myself the question this week, okay, why Sabbath? It's a practice that I've been doing now for 7 or 8 years. Why am I so in love with Sabbath? Why is it something that I believe so much in? And I'll say this, the past, whatever it's been, 6-7 months, my Sabbath has been pretty much non-existent. There has just been so many pressures, so many demands, things that just have to get done. And I can't wait for the end of this project that we're in the middle of right now to have a good Sabbath. It's going to be longer than a day, I'll tell you that right now. I need a Sabbath season because we've just been going, going, going. And I feel it, that unsettled feeling within, it's there. And I would say one of the things that I miss the most from my previous life before the house blew up is Sabbath, where I had a day where I didn't open the computer, severely limited my time on the phone, left it in the other room, kept it on airplane mode, stayed away from screens, got out, just did things with the family, just refilled my soul. So I am missing Sabbath. And here's a couple of reasons why I think Sabbath is very important. We talked about rest. We talked a little bit about this last week. It's a time to reset ourselves. You work, you work, you work. Then you get a day to kind of reset, to refocus, to remind yourself of what's important. What are you giving yourself to? We talked about work being an integral part of who you are as a human last week. But sometimes when we keep going and going, we get caught up in work that doesn't fill our souls. So Sabbath, a day to rest, a time to rest, a season, whatever it happens to be, a couple of hours, you reset yourself. And you focus on that which matters. You remind yourself of that which is important. You remind yourself of the passions and the gifts that God has given to you. And then it allows you to stay focused and to channel all that inner energy and passion that you were born with. It's a time to refill. Again, just like God rested at the end of creation, it's a time to enjoy and remind yourself that life is a gift. We talk about that all the time here at Awaken. When we keep going and going and we fill that calendar and we have all those colors throughout the week, we often forget that life is a gift. Because we're just moving at lightning speed. And so Sabbath is a time to say, hey, this breath, this life, it's a gift that I've freely been given. And when you live from that place, it changes how you view everything, changes how you do your work, changes the conversations that you have with people. It changes, again, what's important and what truly matters and what you want to give your time to. Because when all the demands are coming and you're saying yes and yes and yes, you're not selecting the things that are most important and most true for you. And so during Sabbath, you can reset. I put here awareness as well. Awareness of where you're going, what you're giving yourself to. I think for many people, the beginning of COVID sort of served as that. For some people, it was a time of Sabbath because it was a time of withdrawing. Now, I know it's not true for everyone. For some people, they said, oh my goodness, COVID was an absolute crazy time. And yet there were some people who were fortunate enough to be able to slow down a bit, and they have changed their lives as a result of it. I know a few people, they quit their jobs because they realized, hey, that pace that I was going, that job that I was working, the commute, I don't want to do it anymore. And so COVID provided a time of Sabbath for some of us. It was a time to sit back and become aware of where is my life really heading? And do I want to make any changes? Are there any shifts that I want to make? You have a greater appreciation for work, life, creation, community. I love this one, human being. How often are we simply human beings instead of human doings? Are we meant to just do, or are we meant to also just be and rest? That's why church was something that was done on a Sabbath, because it's supposed to be a reminder that you're loved simply for who you are. That's fine. Don't worry about it. It's an empty camera case. Nothing broke. No worries. There's worse things. We're Sabbathing. We're enjoying. So I'm going to enjoy the camera case falling on the ground. Okay, so I thought about this one. I was cutting the lawn yesterday. I added this morning because I was thinking about Sabbath. And when we talk about spiritual disciplines, oftentimes you go to church, you hear about these spiritual disciplines. And they're disciplines where you remove yourself from things. You fast. There's a discipline of you might read the Bible, you might pray. And those are things that we have varying levels of enjoyment with. Sabbath is a discipline as well, but instead of a discipline of taking things away, Sabbath is a discipline of filling, of joy. We look at discipline as a bad thing, but what if there was a discipline? What if there was a practice you did on a regular basis where it was actually about filling you with joy? I know discipline and joy, they don't often go hand in hand, but Sabbath is a practice that is meant to bring joy, meaning, hope to our lives. To take that bucket that we've been pouring out all week and then refill ourselves. So Sabbath, I would argue, is just as important as any of the other disciplines that you've been taught in the Christian faith. But yet so often it gets pushed to the side, because the ones that are highlighted, read your Bible, pray, go to church, I'd make the argument that Sabbath is right up there with all these other disciplines. And then the idea of trust. And I know Slow Church talked a bunch about this idea of trust in the chapter. But it's a question of, well, can I rest? If I'm not doing anything, if I'm not producing, if I'm not making something, if I'm not consuming something, am I enough? I mean, how often do we work for value or for meaning? How often do we work to be appreciated? So the question at the heart of Sabbath is, if I were to do nothing, if I were to provide no value for anyone, am I enough? Am I still loved? Am I still valued and accepted? And so when we take a pause for a day and we don't create anything, we don't make anything, we're saying, yeah, I'm trusting that I am enough, simply me and who I am. And I don't need to be doing anything with my hands to prove my value to God or to anyone else. I can simply rest in this person that I am. And it's okay. It's all right. And then there's a question at the heart of Sabbath. What is God like? Is God like the Pharaoh who enslaved the Egyptians, where it was work, 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 go, 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 make brick after brick after brick? Or is God a different type of a divine being? Does God create us so that, yes, we can work, but then we can also rest and enjoy? With Pharaoh, who was seen as a divine being, there was no rest. It was do, go, go, go. Now with God, we're seeing a completely different type of God, one who actually cares for our soul and cares that we enjoy the beautiful creation that we've all been placed in. I mentioned earlier, oftentimes one of the questions that's asked when we talk about Sabbath is, what is allowed on Sabbath? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I push these buttons? Can I use this device? We get very wrapped up in this question. Well, what is allowed on Sabbath and what isn't? And I think that misses the point of Sabbath completely. So here's a better question I want us to ask when we think about Sabbath. We can skip this. It's okay. Keep going. Well, here's the answer to that question, that which brings you joy. There we go. So here's a better question for Sabbath. Go back one more. There we go. So what would you do for a 24-hour period of time if the only criteria was to pursue your deepest joy? So when you think about Sabbath, rather than what can I do, what can't I do, and the verse that I skipped was in Mark, where some of the Pharisees were asking Jesus, like, hey, your disciples, why are they picking food? And Jesus answers them, and he says, Sabbath was made for man. Sabbath was made for humans, for us. That's not the other way around. We weren't made for the Sabbath. Sabbath, it's for us. So rather than what can I do, what can I do, what is going to make God not angry with me? What if you were to simply ask the question for Sabbath? What, here it is, what would you do for a 24-hour period of time if the only criteria was to pursue your deepest joy? Can you do that? How's that sound? How's that sound for a discipline, for a practice? I mean, that'll sell, right? That'll work. Someone were to tell you that, like, hey, here for a day, this is what I want you to do, a day each week, pursue your deepest joy. Really? Why? Because that's what brings God joy. That's what God desires for you, that you have a time to just go after the thing that brings you true happiness. Because when you're filled with joy, you're experiencing God. God is a God of joy. God desires that our work would bring us joy and that our rest would bring us joy as well. Remember, 7 days, work, rest, then it's complete. Without rest, there's no completion. So let's go one more slide. Now, people ask all the time, well, hey, you know, life's crazy. I get it. Like, I'm in a season like that right now. I can't get a day. Okay, all right. We can work with that. We can work with that. Sometimes a day is just, it's not practical. So can you get an afternoon to pursue your deepest joy? Can you get a morning to pursue your deepest joy? Maybe that's stretching it. I get it. With kids sometimes, it's like, oh my gosh, I only have an hour. Okay, great. Can you get an hour? What would bring you joy for an hour? 30 minutes? Can we work with 30 minutes? So I would say, if we can't get that 24 hours, let's start with an hour. Let's start with 2 hours. Let's just go for it. And every season's going to be different. But what I've found is not having it, life just begins to blur together. There's no separation between work and play and everything that goes in there. And so the thing that I am most looking forward to right now in my life is getting back to a devoted time of Sabbath, because I feel it and I miss it. And for me, this was a game changer. It was a game changer. And I just set aside all the things that brought up any stress or anxiety. Like I said, I set those devices to the side for a day and just pursued joy. So I think that's I think we're good with Sabbath, what I have up here. Any thoughts? Anyone make any comments about Sabbath? I know we've talked about Sabbath before at Awaken, but any observations anyone wants to make?
I feel like my Sabbath is taken up because I start reflecting, but then I start planning for the week coming up, and therefore I'm working because I'm just thinking about work. And I'm like, well, I guess I could knock out a couple things before the week starts, and then I'm working. So yeah, that's like the worst part of it. I think another thing is, like, I think success is also a very blurry term because of how sometimes you feel like you're on a roll, you're getting more projects, you're getting more work done, you're feeling successful, but then that just brings on more work. Like, the more successful you are, the more work you incur, and the more you're like, okay, I need help. Now I need help. And so you start looking for other people to help you out. And now you're managing people, which is even harder than just like the skill set that you were doing before. So I don't know. It just feels like, you know, when is enough? It's like knowing when it's enough so that you can rest.
I think that's a really good question. When is enough? I think everyone has a different enough. And again, seasons are, you know, different seasons. You're going to answer that question differently too. But I think what you hit on is so important, success. Because what is success? And I think if we were to all write our definition of success, it would look differently for each of us. Oftentimes we look outside of ourselves at what others have achieved or what, you know, our world tells us is successful. And so when you can look in yourself, you do that reflecting time, and you define for yourself what is success, I think that's then the goal that you aim for. And I think, you know, I've tried to answer that, you know, for myself also, like, you know, what is going to be, you know, when will I feel successful? And, you know, even my definition of it has changed throughout the years too. And I think that's important. I think that's a part of the growth process too. So I would almost, you know, I don't know where you're at with that definition of it, but maybe that's something to reflect on. And conversations with Christine as well. You know, like me and Steph talk all the time about, like, okay, for this season, we can do this. Like, she started a new job teaching ballet, and that's something that she's really wanted to do for a long time. She's been teaching kids, middle schoolers and high schoolers, and now she was offered an adult class. And so we had to sit down, and for her, this is success because it's what she has been aiming for years. And so we had to sit down, okay, what's practical, what's doable right now, and, you know, what isn't practical? And we came up with something that works for us right now, but we also realized we're going to have to revisit that conversation because in a couple of months, you know, things will change a little bit too, as, you know, life always does. And so we have to reevaluate all of it. And don't let that reflecting time, I totally get it. I know, I'm right there. You know, you start thinking about things and, oh, let me get a little bit here and there. And, you know, so maybe if that ends up turning into work for you, maybe you just realize that's work and you just say, okay, I'm not going to reflect on anything. I'm going to go for a walk in the woods for my Sabbath for an hour. I'm going to go, like, we love going to the arcade, right? We go to the arcade in Mount Kisco and, like, we just have a blast. We throw balls at clowns and, you know, so pick out prizes afterwards. I love it. Anything else?
If you have anything you want to add? I was just going to say that I really appreciate the example that you're set at being so patient with your child and this dad over here. I just wanted to say thank you to the two of you. I think it's awesome what the two of you just did here, if you didn't realize that. So.
Yeah, rest is it's a hard-fought commodity. And I think for many of us, I know for me, for years and years and years, just being able to detach from the day-to-day, it can be a real challenge, especially when the day-to-day is constantly pursuing you and, you know, and won't let you go. And I think in the context of this community that we call church, that one of the things we can do as a church family is to help each other and to encourage each other and to have this time every week where, you know, where you're of people of like mind and like passion. And that is a type of rest. And I think that's, you know, something that's critically important, or should be, at least in, you know, in the context of Sabbath. And, you know, and as you've been saying and talking about, Sabbath is not a day, it's not a 24-hour period, it's not a particular day of the week, but, you know, it's a time to put aside what you're doing every day and on your day-to-day, and to just detach from that. And sometimes that's easy to say, hard to do.
Very hard to do. That's why it's a discipline. Something that sounds so good, you got to be intentional about it. Because I like what you said about the day chases you. Oh, my gosh. I like that. I'm going to steal that. Thank you. Nice. I heard someone once say that you hear a quote or something that someone says, and the first time you say, you know, Joe once said, the day chases you. The next time you say, I once heard someone say, the day chases you. The third time you say, I've always said, the day chases you. So, cool. All right, hey, let me pray for us, and we'll sing one more song together. Okay, hold on. God, I thank you for this practice of Sabbath that's meant for us, to bring us joy and satisfaction. God, to bring us awareness of where our lives are heading, what's important, and what to give ourselves to. So God, I pray for each of us that we would find that time this upcoming week, whether it's a day or whether it's just an hour or two. God, I pray that we would find the time to pursue our greatest joy. And as we do so, I ask that our souls would be filled and that we would feel your pleasure. God, we would feel your joy in our joy. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.